This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We need now, more than ever, to focus on building the kind of relationships here in Washington that can solve the great problems that our nation faces. And I caution our colleagues, and I caution those who will join this body to resist the pulls of partisan acrimony and the forces that seek to divide us.
Amen. Senator Bill Nelson saying goodbye. 76 years old. He is represented for a while. He lost to Florida Governor Rick Scott in that hotly contested race that wasn't decided until Nelson conceded days after the November 6th election, but he's entering those final days representing Florida. So he delivered the final speech on the Senate floor. You heard just a snippet of that. The part I liked is, let's try to get together. Let's not be so partisan and somehow find some common ground, because it's been very contentious, certainly during part of his time there. He won his first Senate election in 2000. He defeated U.S. Congressman Bill McCollum, and that's how he ended up getting into that position. So he said the journey has been a joy. Kate Delaney here on my show, America Tonight. And it's interesting, while Bill Nelson says goodbye, it is what's happening across the nation that has us buzzing, and it's over a lawyer who represented our president, and his name is Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen found himself in a situation where now he's going to do 3 years in prison. Perhaps that gets reduced a little bit. The U.S. District Judge William Paley said that Cohen deserved credit for his cooperation with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into that whole meddling in the 2016 election, but said, you know what, doesn't wipe the slate clean, buddy. And the deal is that he's got 3 years to serve. Maybe a little gets sliced off. He's got to pay a bunch of money in restitution, tax-wise. And I was listening to some other legal folks describe what he was like, and I heard something today where he was somebody that he never had a reputation as somebody who was a particularly good lawyer, but he was a bit of a thug. So there is no escaping, though, that he was the president's lawyer. At this point, it doesn't matter. He's not now. $1.4 million in restitution. I think what some are thinking is, oh, is this, tie this to the president? And I've said this, and I'll say it over and over again. With any of the connections that I have and all the time I've been covering politics, there is not one person who thinks that the president will be at all implicated in this, where he would be impeached or any such scenario. We keep hearing that. I can't imagine. I almost think that this whole Mueller investigation thing, that yes, there's people in the inner circle that are going to go to, that are going to go down. Michael Cohen is one of them, but not the president. In fact, it's interesting, pushing that aside for a quick second, and yes, it's Fox, but Fox did a poll. 46% of Americans approve of the job the president is doing. And I think that if you were being objective and you'd line up the pros and the cons no matter what, I just said this in an interview, there are things you have to look at and say, well, you know what? This is what everybody was saying. Let's not have a politician in there. Let's get a business person in there. And therefore, some of the problems or some of the confusion, part of that is because you don't have politicians that are running the White House. The people around the president aren't politicians. And it'll be interesting to see where all of this goes. In fact, you know, this is another thing that that I was just reading. Nikki Haley, who is no longer going to be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, did an interview where she just recently was talking about the president and said this, said the unpredictable nature of the president actually was very useful while dealing with ambassadors from around the world. I was trying to get the job done. I got the job done by being truthful, but also by letting him be unpredictable and not showing our cards. She did an interview on NBC that was on the Today Show and said, you know, he would ratchet up the rhetoric, and then I'd go back to the ambassadors and say, you know, he's pretty upset. I can't promise you what he's going to do or not do, but I can tell you if we do these sanctions, it'll keep him from going too far. You know, and that actually helped her. Isn't that interesting? And I think there is definitely some truth to that. And now you've got this State Department spokeswoman who is supposedly going to be nominated as the successor. And we'll see if she goes through, you know, jumps through all the hoops. But most likely she will. I can't imagine that won't happen, but you still have to go through the process, and there's always the chance that something could happen. But Heather Newart, her name is, and she was a journalist. I think she can fend off the critics, and the critics would say she doesn't know enough about foreign policy to be successful. But Nikki Haley said, you know, a lot of people say that about me. I say give her the opportunity to prove to the American public what she can do. And good for Nikki Haley for saying that. So isn't that interesting? A changing of the guard and some, I think, kind of refreshing comments. She's just honest there and said, this was actually the trump card that helped me. All right, the worry that some people may have is about government services. So a lot of Senate Republicans, or at least a handful, said they're not on board with the president's call to shut down the government over the demand for the border wall. Senator Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, who's a Republican, represents a state that the president won by 42 percentage points in 2016, said she's co-authored a compromise plan on a border security funding, and that she's concerned about a shutdown threat. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is also uneasy, telling reporters who have been following him around, like he's a rock star, I guess he is in politics, hoping for a Christmas miracle to resolve the impasse with the Democrats over the wall. Remember, this was just a couple days ago, the president said during a meeting with the top Dems that he would be proud to shut down the government if Congress doesn't provide $5 billion on the border wall he promised in his campaign. He said, I'll be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. That's what he said to Chuck Schumer. Don't worry. I'll shut it down. I'm going to do it. Senator Lindsey Graham, who is absolutely the second lieutenant to the president at this point, has said, and you know, he's sticking with him. He's saying, that's it. I'm sticking with this. That's fine. Without a new spending bill, about 25% of the $1 trillion federal operating budget would expire. So you know the deal. The deal is this. It expires after December 21st. Shut down the government. Fund the government. We've been down this road before, and there have been other sticky, dicey issues that have held it up, and we've seen the government shut down before. So, ho, 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 it could happen. It wouldn't be completely out of the realm, because, yes, it has happened before in the past. So, away we go. Coming up on the flip side, a few little interesting ins and outs with Aaron Lemon Strauss about college and money. You may be interested. I am.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
All at once we are free, and we don't know what to do. Is your brother awake? Are you sure? I don't know. Baby, I hate the graveyard we always end up.
Ready for college? Every year, about 4 million 10th and 11th grade students take the PSAT NMSQT, which determines the qualification for the National Merit Scholarship Program, and is good practice, frankly, for the SAT. Students take the PSAT NMSQT, then they have access to more than $230 million annually through the College Board's scholarship partners. How cool is that? Aaron Lemon-Strauss joins us. He's the Executive Director, College and Career Access, the College Board. Aaron, I don't know, that's like alphabet soup. How'd I do?
Well, you got it exactly right. So, well done. Extra points for you on the test. So the PSAT and MSQT is a test, like you said, about 4 million high school sophomores and juniors take every fall. They're getting their scores back right about now. The PSAT part probably sounds pretty familiar. That's related to the SAT, you know, the test that students take in order to get into college. The NMSQT part is National Merit. That's what the NMS stands for. And so what that means is that this test that they took also gives them access to the National Merit Scholarship Program, where there's millions of dollars of scholarship funding for students. But beyond that, gives them access to over $200 million of additional scholarships tied to taking the PSAT. So this is an exciting test, if I may say so, not necessarily because of the test itself, but because of the opportunities that come out of the test.
Yeah, so as you say, it's the opportunities, and it's good to dive into that, because why does it matter? And you just really brushed over the reasons why it matters, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that, you know, college is expensive, and it's only getting more expensive, and there's a lot of families that are worried about their ability to pay. And so earning scholarship dollars while you're still in high school is a big deal for, being able to afford college when it's time to get there. But beyond that, the PSSC also has other opportunities for you, including access to AP Potential, which is a tool we have that shows students which AP classes, those are advanced placement classes that allow you to take college level courses while you're still in high school, which AP classes they're likely to succeed in. And so students can then make sure they get into those classes and start earning those college credits while they're still in high school.
Yeah. We're speaking to Aaron Lemon Strauss. So to emphasize that, he's the executive director. What a pleasure to have him on for College and Career Access, the College Board. So, so important. And I know it's perking up ears across America listening to this. So for students, because, you know, when I was a student, I remember I wanted to know, ooh, my score, and what does this mean? So what do they learn from looking at their scores?
Yeah, so the scores on the PSAT are connected to the SAT. So the SAT, of course, which is the test that students will take in order to apply to college, uses the same scores as the PSAT. But the advantage here is colleges will never see your PSAT score. It's just for you and your high school guidance counselor. And so you can use those to see, where am I at? Where am I strong? Where could I use some help? Which type of colleges should I be looking at as I'm thinking about the road ahead and where I might be a good fit? And so those scores are really valuable for getting started on this journey.
You know, Aaron, it's so interesting. You have such an incredible background. I was reading up about you before this interview, and, you know, what you do and what you do with the College Board and the efforts to get the students on that path so that they can be successful with this, navigating their college and career success. You know, you look at partnerships with Khan Academy and Road Trip Nation. What's it been like for you in helping students try to find that next step?
You know, it's really important for me, just on a personal level, to make sure that we're opening up the doors of college opportunity to all students. You know, this country has done a brilliant job of building the best higher education system in the world and making sure that higher education system advances students to better opportunities and to pathways to the middle class. And that's an incredible achievement this country should be really proud of. And our job now and the work that so many of us feel called to is to make sure that opportunity is open to everyone so that all students are able to take advantage of higher education and advance themselves and their families and their communities so that we can live in a world that takes advantage of the talents and the resources and the industriousness of everyone here. So partnerships with Khan Academy and Road Trip Nation and others are an important way to do that because it helps create pathways for students and resources for them to access so that the college going process becomes a little less confusing, a little more clear, and a little more accessible.
Yeah, and so one of the things is you got a key date that we've got that just opened up, and these scholarships, these new College Board Opportunity Scholarships launched on the 10th. And students, this is great, because I was one of those students that went back and did the SAT and really improved. And students can get up to, what, $2,000 for improving their SAT score?
That's right, that's right. So we just announced and just launched the College Board Opportunity Scholarships. That's over $5 million a year that we are giving out just for taking the steps that you need to take in order to get yourself to college. So no essays required, no minimum GPA. It's just about taking the steps. So like you said, there's a $2,000 scholarship connected just to taking the SAT and improving on your SAT score. It's something that I need to do anyway. There's scholarship money connected to building a good college list of schools that you're interested in. There's scholarship money connected to applying to those schools or filling out the free application for federal student aid. Those are steps along the way that students should be taking anyway, and so we put scholarship money behind it to encourage students to take those important steps on their journey.
Yeah, wow, I think it's terrific. So where can students and their families find out more information, Aaron?
So for more information about the PSAT test itself, head to psat.org. For information on the College Board Opportunity Scholarships, you can go to opportunity.collegeboard.org. And finally, if I can give you one more website, we had talked about free SAT practice that levels the playing field for all students to boost their scores. That's available at satpractice.org.
All right, Aaron Lemon-Strauss, I imagine it's a busy time for you. Thank you so much. Vital information.
All right, thanks for having me.
Boy, it's interesting to think about that and the availability of the money that you could have access to. So getting your kids college ready, how important is that? And I mentioned that I just think of this now. I can just picture myself. I went to Cherry Hill East, and I can picture myself going through that SAT, and I don't remember as much opportunity there, especially to jump through the hoops ahead of time. And not that there wasn't, but I can remember doing the SATs, and I did okay on the SATs and wanting to get higher numbers and then doing it again. And especially, and we talked about this, when the students do that SAT practice plan, juniors are eligible to participate in that new College Board Opportunity Scholarships that's launching, like I said, there December 10th. So students can earn up to $2,000 for improving that SAT score, which is great because then they have access to it and they're able to get those critical numbers up. Because schools certainly look at that combined with everything else. And, boy, depending on the school, some of the schools that you thought were had a much more wide open swath, you'd be surprised. They don't necessarily, depending on how many come in statewide and how many come in from other places. Even the school that I graduated from, the college, Ohio University, one of the top 10 journalism schools, and not a given that, oh, yeah, you know, as long as it's decent enough and you've got solid grades, but it's that whole really getting some of those numbers up and focusing on that and preparing for that SAT, which is great. That's why I love, and jokingly how I said to him, the alphabet soup, but such so key, that PSAT and that NMSQT. I know that my nephew Owen Delaney just went through that, and getting yourself ready and in position so that when you take it, it's just such good practice for that SAT, and then you feel much more confident when you're going in there and nailing it. So I think just incredible information that we got there from Aaron Lemon Strauss, Executive Director, once again, of College and Career Access, the College Board. And good luck to anyone with children who are going through this process. It is so key, that prepping you for the future. All right, so stay with us. More coming your way next here on the show with me, Kate Delaney.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You have- USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robert Walensky.
You'll see Mr. Cohen cooperating with one or more congressional committees. He'll answer every question.
You're listening to Lanny Davis, Michael Cohen's lawyer, as his client sentenced in New York to 3 years in federal prison.
He has a hard road, quite frankly, with me when I first decided whether to represent him, to convince me that he is genuinely changed and been transformed.
Davis says Cohen, who worked for President Trump, cooperated with Robert Mueller's Russia investigation.
Now we have to judge whether facts are facts, despite the fact that his past 10 years have not always been truthful in defending Donald Trump.
Michael Cohen has to pay fines to the tune of almost $2 million for lying to Congress and breaking campaign finance laws. Cohen arriving at the courthouse with his wife and children. He reports to prison March 6th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
We're going to tackle here, and one that I think this woman has really, really done an incredible job of pulling together and investigating and putting it in a tremendous book. Her name's Vanita Ricks, and the book is called Through the Lens of the Transatlantic Slave Trade. Vanita, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I said it, this is a subject that a lot of people don't really know that much about, right? I mean, how did you get interested in the subject?
Okay, in my book's prologue, I present two events that initiated my interest. During my first trip to Italy in 2002, I witnessed firsthand modern slave trade trafficking of sexual workers along the streets of the city we were going through. Then, in a book club in 2004, I read a book called The Slave Trade by Hugh Thomas. It's an 800-page book written by a British historian. I didn't think many people would want to read that. But reading that book changed forever how I will view the world.
Point. And so, as you said, you got through it, and then you probably realized, oh, I mean, I want to know more about this. So when you started to dig around and learn more about the slave trade in modern times and what you saw in Italy and then what happened in the past, what's the most interesting or fascinating thing that you learned about the subject? And that's a big question.
Well, there was so many. It was a new world. To start with. But the most fascinating thing was that this world went on for 444 years, 1444 to 1888. That's a long time. Many in Europe orchestrated, financed, and wanted it. They paid to hire the crew, provide the merchandise for each slave trip headed to Africa. I had not been aware of that. That was not what I had been told in high school.
Yeah, me either. Same thing. And so I think part of that is simply what people don't realize. What's the biggest difference, and what is the difference between slavery and the slave trade?
Well, slavery looks at the people who were kidnapped, shipped from Africa, and worked for cheap in the New World. Now, contrary to popular speech, slaves were not free labor, just cheap labor. Plantation owners had to buy them at an auction. Then they had to provide food, clothing, and shelter, et cetera, et cetera. Slavery looks at the violence, the oppression. That, unfortunately, is a very small part of what happened from 1444 to 1488. Now, the slave trade looks at the economic enterprise that evolved to collect and transport the people to the New World. To accomplish this trading in slaves, the first global economic enterprise was created. An alternative reality was created. The world has never been the same. It included investors, bankers, accountants, lawyers, surveyors, etc., etc., etc. Europeans moved from one continent to another to get involved, to take these jobs. Some went to Africa, some went to the New World. Once the system was created, the real crime is hidden. Slaves are people who do not own the output of their labor. Simply put, that's what it is. A slave is someone who does not own the output of their labor. And there are people now who don't own the output of their labor. But that's kind of hidden. It took a lot of years of digging to get to that nugget. But that's the difference. When we talk about slaves, we're talking about a very small part. The question is, who's financing it? Who's making it happen? Who's putting those ships out, and why?
Yeah, and as you said, to get to that nugget, it took a long time. And we're speaking with Vanita Ricks, and the name of her fascinating book is called Through the Lens of the Transatlantic Slave Trade. And as you say, it's about the economic power of that. And very specifically, you talk about a date that it ends in 1888. So you would say, well, why would it end if they were profiting from it? And I think people don't realize why that is either, right?
Well, but if you don't know when it starts, it doesn't matter. Now, so people, that's not part of our conversation. When we talk about the economic inequalities, for example, in the United States right now, people will go back 30 years. They'll go back 50 years. They might go back to the Great Depression. All of that was started in this enterprise called the Transatlantic Slave Trade that officially ended in 1888. It was a multi-continental enterprise. It started in Portugal in 1444, and it ended in Brazil in 1888. Okay, so and during that time, every country in Europe got involved, and all of the New World, and they were taking slaves from Africa.
Yeah, and so it leads to this question. When you look at the group, is there any group that you think is more misunderstood or not discussed very much, first in Africa and then in Europe?
Well, in my book, I present 9 groups of people who benefit from, some might even say profited from, the transatlantic slave trade. And so right now, I'll do 2 of them. One's in Africa and one's in Europe. The first people most often get angry with the African kings, and they accuse them of selling the slaves. Many African kings did. Some did not. However, we must understand that an African king only sold a few of his people. To sell too many of his people meant that he was out of a kingdom. Once guns became the traded merchandise, kings without guns were in danger of losing their kingdom. They needed to have guns to kill the other tribes. If the king lost the war, he and his fellow tribesmen would become slaves for the next slave ship. Most slaves were captured from the interior. Some even walked from East Africa. The other group that's rarely discussed are the ship's crewmen. Some European men took these jobs to avoid jail because they had debt. Others were given excessive alcohol. They had gone into, they were wandering around Europe on the day or two before the slave trade was supposed to be initiated. They would be in a bar. They would be deliberately gotten drunk. And when they awakened, they were on a slave ship headed to West Africa. Since few people re-enlisted, most had no idea of the dog-eat-dog world they were entering. Some of the crewmen died of malaria in Africa, or they got sick on the ship and died in the New World. Some got shorted by the ship's captain, but they were the lucky ones. They at least got paid. There were times when the ship captain would deliberately get lost, and so they didn't get paid at all. So here these European crewmen would be stranded, far from home, with no way to get back. So those are two groups that are never discussed when we are really talking, when we get serious about talking about the slave trade.
Wow.
But there are other groups as well.
Yeah, as you said, there's seven other groups, so you've got to pick up this book to read that through the lens of the transatlantic slave trade. And we're speaking with Vanita Ricks, and what a pleasure. And you're so passionate about this subject, and you and I had a great conversation off the air, too, about it. And it really got me thinking about the listeners, and why should our listeners get excited about this topic?
Well, many of today's economic products, many of our topics and our priorities were created then. Because of the transatlantic slave trade, we have become consumers, using our credit cards, paying interest to banks, and conducting our business in a specific system that was designed when the Europeans captured Africans and needed to bring them to the New World. This economic system created many significant behaviors in our day-to-day lives. Okay? We are the product of these teachings, these habits, these ideas that we have gotten from church, from school, from family on how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to manage our economic priorities in today's world. And that's what most of our lives is about, right? We spend most of our day-to-day lives trying to figure out how we can get this versus that. And what is the cost? And we also have to worry about what happens if we lose a job. And things like insurance were created for the slave trade. And health insurance is connected in the United States only. It's the only country in the United States, in the world. It's the only country in the world that ties health care to a job. In Europe and the rest of the world, they get health care for breathing. Everybody can get it now. And so we're the only country in the world that doesn't do it that way. And it's because of this history. And that's what people don't quite understand. So the fact that we care and worry about getting a job so we can pay our bills and stay healthy and not have to go into bankruptcy most often for health care is a function of this history that we have been, that we don't know much about.
Yeah. Wow, it's unbelievable. I could talk to you all day long about this. Vanita, how can people find you? Tell us your website.
Well, as most people, I have a couple of websites. But to get the book, you need to go to www.vinitamochricks.com. And of course, you can buy it on Amazon. And it comes in book and in ebook format.
So that's good to know. Absolutely. You'll be fascinated. I certainly was. Vanita, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back.
United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the smart blood pressure tracker.
I love tortoises, so you know I'm already going to like this book, and I know I'm going to like this author, but she's in our virtual green room. Lori Rao has written a book called Cordis the Tortoise. It's a children's book, but I think even adults can pick it up, but certainly adults can pick it up to read to the children in their lives. There's no doubt about that. Lori, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I do believe we have a fascination with tortoises, with turtles, with any kind, shape, big, small. And I definitely have since I was a kid. Did you have a fascination with the tortoise?
You know, I do love tortoises. The fact that they can live for such a long time and are so resilient and have been on this earth for so long is just fascinating to me.
And I think that's the reason it's fascinating to me, too, as well. So when you decided to tell this story and put it together, what was your inspiration for the story?
Well, I have been volunteering in a program called SMART for the state of Oregon. It's Start Making a Reader Today. And the idea is volunteers go into grade schools, K through third grade, and read to the kids and have them read to us to help them reach their reading level that they're supposed to be at for their grade. And in reading all of these different stories, I just thought, you know, I want to give it a shot. And I have an idea. I like that Aesop's fable, The Tortoise and the Hare, when I was a little girl. And so I thought, well, I bet I can do an updated version of that make it a little bit more kids friendly and maybe have a nice life lesson in it. So that was kind of what started me down that path.
Then when you come up with Hortus and you tell the story, I love that Aesop's fable to update it, because I grew up like you. I grew up with that story for sure, and it definitely actually really had an impact on me. So when you take the twist and you come up with your story, tell us about your story. Tell us about Hortus.
So Hortus the tortoise lives at the zoo, and his friend is Honey the Bunny. And when I envision them, I envision Hortus being kind of a middle-aged tortoise and Honey being a little bit younger. And Honey wants to run this race, and Hortus isn't really into it, but because he's a good friend, he says, I'll do it for you. And so when they start the race, of course, Honey is way ahead, and she's teasing Hortus a little bit about how slow he's moving. But eventually she tires, and so he actually picks her up and carries her over the finish line with him so they could do it together as friends and finish together.
Wow. So that is a definite twist. When you named your characters, how did you pick out the names? The names are clever.
Well, I was doing a rhyming book, so I had to, I named it rhymed with tortoise. So that's how Hortus came. And then I just thought Honey the Bunny gave the character I wanted for her. You know, that she was sweet, maybe a little naive and young, just kind of a little honey.
I like that. So I'm going to say this again. Lori Rowell's with us, of course, and the book is called Hortus the Tortoise. It's available on Amazon.com, Kindle, of course, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can get great books. And what do you hope kids get out of your book when they read it or someone reads it to them?
I hope that they can see that sometimes, even if you don't want to do something, you do it because you're being a good friend, and that teasing isn't always a really good idea because it doesn't end up well in the end, and that sometimes winning isn't the goal of a good friendship. You know, that sometimes doing things together and succeeding together is more important than being first place.
Ooh, that is a great takeaway. And you talked about SMART and what you're doing there in Oregon and how that's encouraging children to read. Were you surprised at how easy the stories, it seems like to me, poured out of you?
I was and I wasn't. I have always liked to read myself. I grew up, you know, with the Dr. Seuss rhyming books, and I've always kind of had a fascination with, you know, trying to make a story rhyme. And so this was a really fun journey for me to take. It did take a little while for me to get it all down and make sense and have a full story that, you know, kind of followed the Aesop's fable, but had its own twist. But I really, really enjoyed that journey of writing it and, you know, figuring out from beginning to end.
Yeah. Tell us about, because you would visualize your characters, I'm sure. Tell us about the illustrations.
So the illustrations were actually done by someone else. This was self-publishing. And so I had to send really detailed thoughts of how I wanted each character to look and how I wanted each page to look and what, and I would get a draft back and I, you know, tweak it a little bit and go back to them and say, you know, I want Tortoise or Hortus to be more this color and I want Honey to look like this and I want the background to be this way. And so someone else actually did the illustrations under my direction. So there was a very talented person behind all of the illustrations.
Yeah, and that's the way it is with most people that do children's books, unless that's a particular talent they have. But I love that you went back and forth and you still had to come up with a vision. And maybe in some ways it can be harder because you're thinking of what do they look like? What are you getting back? And you can still have a talented artist, illustrator on the other side, but then you felt like they nailed it in the end, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah. I think that I was really happy with the final product. You know, it looks to me like how I had envisioned Hortus and Honey to look.
Yeah. And it's great that, you know, you think of the kids and you think of kids reading this, and then you try your hand at writing a book with these life lessons. And in the end, for you doing the book and putting it together, did you have a lot of fun?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I really enjoyed it. It was just a pleasant thing to be able to come home from work or on the weekends and just kind of, you know, sit and think about it and plot it out and make it happen.
When you got the books, when finally it's all put together and, you know, you get the package in the mail and you open it up, the box, what was that like?
It was like the best Christmas ever. It was just, you know, it was so amazing to see something that you kind of plotted in your head and wrote down on a piece of paper to come to life.
I love it. And we're speaking with Lori Rowell, and Hortus the Tortoise is the name of the book. Get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, of course. What's interesting is your background. Tell everybody what you do for a living.
I actually am a banker. I've worked for the same bank for 29 years in the same department, and absolutely love that job. I really enjoy what I do. I work for the international banking department. So I'm helping importers and exporters with their transactions, you know, exchanging money for goods.
Wow. And it's interesting that you would be a numbers person and you're doing this banking thing. And as you said, you've done it for 29 years. And then you've got this book that you read on the side. And were you inspired by family at all? I know, like, I'm inspired by my nephew. And I'm wondering if you were inspired by children around you.
I have a number of nieces and nephews, and actually great nieces and nephews. And I do spend a lot of time with them. And they are inspirational. And just watching them and seeing what they're into and what's important to them is inspirational for me.
Yeah, oh, I would imagine. So now you've got Hortus the Tortoise out, and you tell everyone Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, great book, read it to kids. Hey, I'd say even get the book and donate it where people are reading to children in honor of Lori, really, because of what they're doing in Oregon with SMART. Start making, you know, a reader today. I'm sure wherever you're listening to me, there are other programs like that around the country. So what's next for you? Will you do another book?
You know, I would love to do another book, and I actually have one pretty much written, and I'd like to do a sequel to Hortus and Honey, maybe send them to the park instead of on a race, but it will depend on if I can find a traditional publisher or not. Otherwise, unless I win the lottery or find a traditional publisher, the stories will probably just stay with me and my family.
I love that. Lori, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.